That was the most awful 3 minutes in my whole life. And I'll tell you why it was so awful during my sermon. Let us have a time to pray. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here today. We come because of the joy that you pour out in our lives. And because of that, we are here. And we come because we want to share that joy with others. So I pray that you will be with us. We invite the Holy Spirit to be upon us to reignite and regenerate that love and that joy that we have from you. And may it overfill us so we will be able to share it with others. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be worthy in front of you, my Lord, and you, my rock. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. But I still have to say it is my joy to have everyone here worshiping our Lord together. It is so good to see our members who came back, and it is so good to be here in the midst of our community of faith. I also want to welcome everyone who is joining us in worship through our recorded sermon as well. But as we are talking about the gospel according to Star Wars, like I said, I am myself really enjoying it because I countlessly encounter people who introduce me and informations about Star Wars. I met several members who today even said, have you saw the Darth Vader Christmas tree at Hotel Roanoke? Have you saw the Barnes & Noble's Star Wars display? I also had two of our members. It was two of our members who cut up a scrap of a Roanoke Times about an article of a church who had a children's musical which was according to the Star Wars. My kids and I went there. It was an awful presentation, but still, I liked their concept. The main character was Luke Skywatcher, and he was the one who was watching in the stars, waiting for the newborn baby. And of course, Darth Herod was Darth Vader, who was against the three wise men trying to get to the Blessed One. And of course, out of those three wise men, we have only one Kenobi. And all the girls were dressed as Leia, Princess Leia, and that was just too confusing for me. But everybody else, I think beyond everything, the concept was really good because they had their performance at South Roanoke Library, which was more of a secular setting, and they wanted to share the news in a different kind of way. So I do applaud them in that. In the same way, I believe that this sermon series is another way of reaching this message of the worldview in a different angle. Like I said many times, religion was where we primarily built up our worldview. But after movie and mass media came in, we started to learn our worldview from them instead. And by having the gospel according to Star Wars, I want us to reclaim that role of religion, that our worldview comes from God, not from anything else. And what I'm doing is I'm picking a couple themes from the movie Star Wars to highlight the word. And I hope that the word will be passed on to you as well. Please go back and refer to our two sermons that we had before about hope and peace. And this week is going to talk about joy. And next week we're going to talk about the love in order for us to prepare ourselves for Advent. Advent is a time where we prepare a space for our Lord to come into our hearts. And we prepare that space over a 4 week of Sundays, recalling and reclaiming that peace to be with us, that hope to be in us, and that joy and that love to dwell in us. So as we talk about joy, what if we do start with this? Can you pass a blessing to one another on your who are sitting on your left and right and saying, may the joy of God, may the force be with you. May the joy of God be with you. May the joy of God be with you. I'm going to start the sermon of joy with my love-hate relationship with HDTV. Now, okay, Star Wars and now HDTV. You are doing so much advertisement here on the pulpit, preacher. But I do have to say I love HDTV because of the possibility that they see beyond the value. The value, and they see beyond the outcome, the looks of the house. I love how they renovate houses, the old houses, into this really modern and top design place where people can really enjoy. I love how they even have this little competition between, and one of the favorite shows that I watch a lot is Love It or List It. So they have this little tension between Hillary, who is trying to revent this old venue, and versus the other who is trying to introduce that they need to change, they need to move out. And that's such a great show that I love it so much. But at the same time, the reason why I hate HGTV is because, I don't know. The reason why I hate it is because the people seem to be so childish. They talk about their needs. They talk about their wants. And as if that is the most important thing in their life. They talk about, we need this, we need that. They will easily dismay anything else that does not fit into their own criteria. And they push either the realtor or the contractor to meet their needs. And after, they cry because of their needs are met. And that simple second of joy translate into a message that we see, oh, if my needs are met, would I cry in tears of joy like them? That's the reason I hate it. Because it seems like they are fostering this notion that if we have our needs met, if we push other people to make our needs met, we will have joy. But happiness or joy does not happen in that way. In fact, there is an English proverbs, and I don't know if you have heard this before. It says, if you want to be happy for a day, get a haircut. If you want to be happy for a week, go and travel. If you want to be happy for a month, move into a new house. They are enjoying and celebrating that tear of joy because of a happiness that only lasts for a month at max. And if you want to be happy for a year, I'm sorry to say this in front of a couple who's going to get married next year. Be married. And I hope you two become an exception. But it says, if you want to be happy for a lifetime, love your neighbors. Where does this come from? Loving our neighbors comes from the fact that we love God. And it cannot be separated without the love of God. It has to be derived from that love. And the same way, our joy and happiness will never come from any kind of material possession. And I know that everybody already knows it, but because of the media and because of the worldview that we have, we still live for that love and joy, happiness that comes from materialist possession. That is the reason why it is so important for us to look and understand where the true meaning of joy comes from. Does the true meaning of joy come from what I have and what I possess and what I get if my needs are all met? Or does it come from something that is beyond possession? And I believe as we celebrate this day of Advent of joy, it is the right time for us to look at the definition of joy, especially the biblical definition of joy. Joy is a state of mind and the orientation of our heart that is more of a settled and a state that of contentment and confidence and hope. Joy is something that we come because we believe in something. That belief translates into a contentment and confidence of joy. It's not about material position. It's not about getting something that we want. It's not about meeting our needs. It is about just one thing, and the one thing is our salvation. It says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 to 6, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation." Let me just stop here. Why is this prophet proclaiming that God is his salvation? Because all the difficulties that we have, all the what the world brings, will still continue even though we have salvation. But our everlasting desire to achieve that joy because of the disconnect, joy that is not here in this world because of the disconnect from our relationship with God, brings the biggest tragedy in our lives. We will desire joy from all these other material possessions. We will desire joy and happiness from all these worldly things. But I am very, very sure that it will not last forever. We have this emptiness in our hearts. And it's like a bucket with a hole in it. And even though we pour out all the things that we need, all the things that brings us joy for a very short time, it will not fulfill us until we close up that hole. And how do we close up that hole? Holding on to the belief that God had sent his one and only Son for my own sin. And because God had himself had died on the cross, because of that sacrifice and that love, our sins are washed away and our hole that we have in our heart is filled up. And that joy and that salvation is something that fills our heart. And on top of that, materialistic, on top of that, growing closer to God, on top of that, growing into a disciple brings us happiness in the world that overflows in our life. That's the definition of joy. So we can say that joy only comes from believing in that gospel. Joy and happiness is actually interchangeable throughout the Bible. We use joy and happiness almost as a synonym. But there are some differences in joy and happiness. Joy is that source of salvation, that source of content, the source of confidence that we have in our Lord, that our life is filled through him. Happiness is what Wesley says, is simply having a life full of pleasant experience, but he thinks that as we make progress along the ways of salvation and as we learn how to become a disciple and as we learn how to become more like Christ, that's when the true happiness comes. And as we arrive in that state, we will be able to see and enjoy what the world offers through the blessings of God. So there are two different meanings in this. The joy and happiness derives from that salvation and the belief that we had in Christ, have in Christ. But the happiness, the true happiness, comes from us developing that in that relationship with God, us being closer to God, us resembling God day by day. And through that transformation, we experience that true happiness. And when we come to that stage, we are able to experience and really cherish what God blesses us in the world through many other material blessings. But when the church does not talk about the true meaning of joy and the true meaning of happiness, that's when marketing comes in and takes away the whole definition and says, when you get something, that is what will make you happy. So for us, as Christians, we truly have to see what happiness is. Let me just read this again since I put it up, and it's a good definition. Biblical happiness is not simply feeling pleasure, being in a good mood, or having fun. Biblical happiness is about being deeply fulfilled as a human being because we have trust, inner relationship with God to provide what we need the most. Adversity may be able to destroy a good mood, but for the faithful, it does not destroy the confidence in God. So like I said, the happiness is not about what we have. In our lives, we will face trials. We will face difficulties. But does that take away our happiness? It doesn't. Let me say it once more, because we strive and we live in a world that needs to strive and secure our happiness. And we need to strive and secure our safety, our health, our security, our 401ks. And let me say it one more time. It does not take away our happiness, because we have a different definition of happiness. Our happiness is sourced from that relationship with God. And our happiness only comes from God. And things that are added onto it, the security, health, family, are something that God adds on to enhance our happiness, but it's not our true happiness. That's why we can say in Philippians chapter 4 of what we had read today, rejoice in the Lord always. How can you always rejoice in the Lord when a disease or illness hits you? How can you always rejoice in the Lord when a loving family member is gone? How can you always rejoice in the Lord when your career is not going the way that you thought? How can you always rejoice in the Lord when there are so many things that try to keep us down? But God still says, rejoice, because our joy does not come from those materialistic things. Our joy only comes from the salvation of our Lord. That we are promised and that we are chosen, that we selected and we selected to believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that even though I die today, I'm going to go to heaven. Amen? My wife hates it, but I say, I wish that God takes me back home soon. Why am I still alive? Because God has a purpose in my life here. But I can't wait for that day to come. Am I selfish? No. Because that should be our sole desire. And that's the reason we can say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, even though we encounter difficulties in our lives. We can still rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. And even though it's not really related to our sermon today, I still wanted to read this because it is such a great verse. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, let me go back to why I think that the 3 minutes were the most awful time in my life. Number one, because it was the end of the series of Star Wars. I wanted to continue on. And never in my life that I imagined that 20 years later that George Lucas will fund a movie, that fund and support this director to start a new trilogy. But the reason why I think it is most awful moment of Star Wars is because this joy does not last forever. Darth Vader and the Emperor, who is the source of evil, is dead. But evil still prevails. If the joy and the celebration that they had put inserted into this movie lasts forever, why would they make Star Wars 7? Evil is gone. The balance is restored. There's no means of Star Wars 7. That is why this is awful. We all hope for these kind of happy endings. But the thing is, do we really see an infinite happy ending in this world? We will never. We will have moments of happiness. We will have moments of celebration. I think that's a blessing of God to remind us there is an eternal feast and an eternal joy and an eternal happiness in God's kingdom. But until you reach then, don't forget there's these small celebrations on the way to remind you of that joy and that happiness that God will bring at the kingdom. But those do not last forever. Those continue on only when we enter that kingdom. But it is for us to be reminded and live in a way that our gentleness will be reflected and shared with others, because the time is near. It is a season to be jolly, right? But let me talk about this season in a little critical and a sarcastic way. Where did this season come from? Where did this season come from? The Christmas season come from? Jesus Christ, amen. Jesus is the reason for the season. But does our culture really reflect Jesus? And celebrating the joy that God brings by saving his people? Let me talk about the lights. This is the reason we have lights on the side, and I hope that there will be a safe way for us to light this candle up throughout the night, but it's just something that is very, very hard, but we'll still find a way. Why do we place lights on the windows? Because Christ is the source of light that brings light into the dark world. And therefore, the church should be the light shining in this dark world, giving that message. But what happened? The world took over the lights. And there's so many houses that shine so much more brighter lights. And there's no Christ in it. There's all Santa and Rudolph in it. There's snowflakes. But there's no Christ. And they think that they can light up the darkness, which is not the source of joy. The source of joy only comes from the gift that God gave, that through his Son, that he entered the world for us to restore our relationship with God. And that's the only joy that we have. But that disappeared because of all the marketing. And Christmas became more of buying gifts, getting the families together, and sharing if you have overlapped. But Christmas is not based from that. St. Nicholas did give out gifts, but why did he give it out? He gave it out because he was overwhelmed with the gift that God had gave in his life. And he had to do something, that he had to share that gift with others. He had to do something because that joy was overfilling his life. But if we are more joyful and happy because of the gifts and time that we have away from work and with our families, and putting God aside and putting that gift of eternal joy aside, as Christians, at least as Christians, don't we have to rethink this season? Like I said, there is no eternal celebration and joy in this world, but God will give some points for us to celebrate and remind ourselves and look and desire for that time that we spend in the kingdom. And Christmas should be that time that we remember the gift of God. And we desire that kingdom. And because of that, joy fulfills our life. That should be the reason why we share and we celebrate. And I'm not saying that anybody is wrong. But I want to challenge, at least for us, let us use this time as Advent and Christmas to really rethink whether Christ is the center of our celebration and our joy. There's this Christian singer whose name is Jamie Jamgochain, who rewrote the 12 Days of Christmas. And you'll be able to hear it from Spirit FM 93.1. And in this time, in the lyrics, what she says, "Let us remember when Christmas is here, He is the reason we sing throughout the year." Why do we celebrate Christmas? It's because this is a short celebration and a short taste of joy for us to live this life throughout the year, joyful and looking forward to that kingdom. Why is it important for the church to celebrate Christmas with worship, Christmas pageants, and the candlelight service? It's not because we want more people. It's not because if the church doesn't do it, who's going to carry on the tradition? This is the reason why we worship on Christmas Eve. I pray that there will be at least one person who comes to these services and be renewed in the eternal joy of salvation. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know if my words will be eloquent enough for that to happen. I don't know if our children's pageant will be that moving for that to happen. But I know one thing. If we focus our eyes onto God and we pray for the Holy Spirit to reign in this time, I believe not only for us as the members of Rally Court United Methodist Church, I also pray that the Spirit will move and touch at least one person, that this joy of salvation will be restored in their lives. This is the reason why we celebrate, because we spread the joy of that eternal salvation. We spread the joy that God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. And whoever believes in it, even though it seems to be so hard to believe in it, even though it seems to be so easy, how can you just say if you believe and you'll have eternal life? But it says if you believe in it, you will not perish but have eternal life. And this is a season where we reflect where our joy comes from. And if you are in that stage, but even though you come to worship, you do not know where that joy is from God or from other things that God has poured out in our lives, I hope that you'll focus onto that joy of salvation that gives us the true hope and true joy. And if you already have that joy fulfilled in your life, I ask that you'll pray and you'll join us in spreading this joy with others so they will be able to experience that eternal joy that comes through God's kingdom. And let us together fix our eyes upon to Him and upon to the Lord who will come. Let us close our eyes and ask for that joy to overfill our hearts once more. Lord, it is the season that everyone becomes joyful because of the things that they experience through the holiday. And those are all great blessings from you. But Lord, if we neglect the true joy that comes from your salvation and eternal life, how can we say that we are celebrating with the right motive? Lord, I pray that mysteriously through this time of worship, that you will work and you will be alive in many of our members' lives that they see how the true joy only comes from you and you alone. The true joy only comes from your promise of salvation. Your true joy only comes from your promise that you will be with us forever and ever. And as a response to that joy and promise, let us respond and share this joy with others. Be with us throughout this time of Advent as we prepare our hearts for you, the coming King. And let us truly see how you pour your love, your peace, your hope, and your joy into our lives so we become a blessing to others. We thank you, and we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.